Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Welcome to 5000 to 1, the Athletics Leicester City podcast. I am Rob Tanner. Joining me, as ever, is the former Leicester City captain, club legend, and my co-host, Matt Elliott. How are you, Matt?
Very well, Rob. Thank you very much. Still recovering from the events of the weekend, shall we say. I'm sure we'll be chatting about that in a bit. But I suppose, like the players, got to get ourselves focused on the job in hand, which is the Europa League, isn't it? But plenty to chat about, as per usual.
Absolutely. We'll certainly be discussing Liverpool. What a famous day that was for the club, but also the Europa League and the trip to Slavia Prague. And with the Europa League returning this week, there's no better time to sign up for all our unrivaled coverage at The Athletic. Until February 25th, we're offering new subscribers a half-price annual subscription. That's less than £1 a week for an entire year. To redeem that limited time only offer, go to theathletic.com/LeicesterPod. That's theathletic.com/LeicesterPod. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. Let's kick off with Liverpool, because to be quite frank, after the first half, I didn't see that coming on a Saturday. I mean, Liverpool looked to have the game under control in many. I thought Leicester was struggling to get going in the game. But suddenly, what a transformation the second half. And we'll talk about it in a second. Tom Warville, my colleague, did an excellent piece analysing the tactical change that Brendan made, and it bore fruit.
Certainly did, didn't it? It needed adjusting, didn't it? It needed something different. And I think Leicester, as well as the tactical switch, that Leicester were almost sparked into gear by conceding in an adverse way, you know, a roundabout way. It almost benefited them conceding, because they couldn't continue playing as they were, could they? Because they weren't really going anywhere, as you mentioned. Having said that, there were a couple of opportunities, decent ones as well, for Vardy in the first half. So, you know, it wasn't totally in Liverpool's control. Although I do agree with you, you know, over the course of the game, you struggle to see that a way forward for Leicester, really, especially after conceding. You thought, right, okay, the game was in the balance to a degree. I wouldn't say Leicester were hanging on, but they were containing Liverpool. But as soon as they conceded, you thought, right, where do they go from here? And we saw what the result was. They just went flashing through Liverpool's defence, didn't they? It was almost one of them don't make me angry situations, wasn't it? And Leicester need to get angry a little bit more often if that's the result, because they were... I mean, if the game had gone on another 15 minutes, you were talking 4, 5 or 6. Liverpool were totally shot, weren't they? And that was a huge part of it, I think, the tactical switch. But also the switch of mentality from Leicester, going behind and thinking, right, we need to maybe be a bit more direct, get more bodies forward, which is part of the plan, obviously, from Brendan Rodgers. And how effective they were. And it sort of showed up to me that maybe they should be a little bit more direct or dynamic at times against the big teams. I mean, listen, I'm saying that the record that they've got against the supposed big six is is unbelievably good. They've only lost to Liverpool this year, and obviously they've got back on terms, you know, in terms of results, you know, with that victory. But I just think there was not an inferiority complex against Liverpool, but they were a little bit reserved, a little bit cautious over the last few games. And I thought it was time to sort of let loose a little bit, and because they haven't had much joy generally, and then not go for broke, but, you know, be a bit more expansive, shall we say, against them. And you never know if you test them out. And we saw what happened. As a result, Liverpool were just blown away, weren't they? And it'll give Leicester unbelievable confidence going forward.
Well, it was that tactical change, and you're right, it was a gamble as well, because he went with a diamond midfield. He threw Harvey Barnes up front. I'm glad you said about getting angry, because Harvey's notorious. Everybody says it about Harvey. He's at his best when he gets angry. And but they went with a diamond, so a lot more narrow in midfield, so they could dominate central areas. We get against Liverpool, though, you're conceding space for their two fullbacks, who are two of their best attacking outlets. Exactly. To bomb forward, but they just fell to pieces under the pressure that Leicester... I've not seen a side implode like that for a very long time, and they were the champions that imploded like that.
Tielemans, who's looking just to ease it over the top. Alisson coming out. Oh, Kabak has presented it straight to Jamie Vardy, who walks it in for 2-1 Leicester.
Well, if you look at it, culpability, for me, it's Alisson all day, not young Kabak.
I did my piece about Harvey because I think Harvey epitomises for me how far Leicester City have come over the last 12 months. I mean, if after 24 games last year, they were 2 points better off than they are now, right now. But we know what happened in those final games of this season. I get the sense that's not going to happen this time. There's a bit more of a mental resilience, a bit more experience about them. And when you see the development of Harvey Barnes, I mean, Jamie Vardy, as we said, had a number of good chances that normally when he's up fit and firing, he would have taken. So he was having a bit of an off day in front of goal. So somebody else needed to step up. And Harvey's become that player now that steps up and has been contributing in terms of the goals this season. I mean, it's no other attacking midfielder has scored as many goals as him this season. He's been outstanding. It's been a breakthrough campaign in many ways for him.
Yeah, and one that I'm not surprised to see, because as you well know, I'm a massive advocate and fan of Harvey Barnes, and my only frustration is that he can do even better because, yes, his stats are rapidly improving, as is his general all-round game, but only at a rate that I expect it to because of the qualities he has. And I'm sure he isn't, and I hope he isn't, you know, satisfied with his returns as they are. Yes, there's something to be proud of and pleased with, but he's got the potential for even so much more. And, you know, that's meant as a massive compliment to him, because the capabilities that he's got, and I think he's indicative of how Leicester are generally, really. I think they've got still quite a bit of growth within them. They can go on and be an even better side. Some people think that, you know, from afar, I think, well, they're overperforming. I don't think so. There's class and quality and substance right throughout the team, the squad and the club. And, you know, they're going to be a genuine force going forward. But Harvey was, he was unplayable, wasn't he? Once he got his pecker up, as did the team in general, and you know, they went for it a little bit. They were forced into that situation because what they were trying wasn't really working, although they did have those opportunities, as you say. But, I mean, I always thought the potential was there all game. Alexander-Arnold's not having a good time of it of late. And you can see that even in his attacking play, you know, he's loose with his passing. He's giving it away far too often. And then that has a knock-on effect defensively as well, because I thought he was fortunate early on a few occasions. Barnes was going at him and he gambled, he stuck the leg out and it just about went his way, but he wasn't defending how you should do properly, you know, going with the opposing attacker, you know, getting your body shape right, showing him away and tracking him. It was do or die, and he just about got away with it a number of times. And then, but all of a sudden, not that it was always Alexander-Arnold that Barnes was going at, but he just outstripped, you know, England's regular right fullback, and others were trailing in his wake, weren't they? What about the opportunity when Alisson made the double save? I mean, that was actually a better drive and run with the ball than the goal itself, because Alisson, how he's kept out of Vardy's rebound, I just don't know. Talk about from sublime to the ridiculous. But it was anyone watching that, and I've seen a bit on one of your articles, Rob, he must be involved in the England squad. Gareth Southgate has seen him. We saw him against Leeds, the potential that he's got with that goal. And it was of a similar vein, wasn't it, against Liverpool, and nearly did it on a couple of occasions. He created the chaos for the penalty stroke free kick. And and this is the European champions, Premier League champions that we're talking about, he's doing it against. And if that doesn't give him a real boost to go and tear into any form of opposition, then nothing will.
But I just thought he offers something a bit different to all the others, because they're all great ball players, Grealish, Mount, Foden. They're great on the ball. They play in between the lines. They ghost into space. It's all nice and neat and very effective. But Harvey's just a throwback. He's a throwback to those old-fashioned wingers that were very direct. You give him the ball, tell him to attack the fullback, and away he goes. And with his pace and power, I think he's incredibly effective, and he offers just a different option. I mean, I qualify that stat that he's scored 8 goals, Premier League goals this season, and no other English midfielder has scored more. But I know Marcus Rashford and Raheem Sterling have contributed more, playing in more forward positions. But I just think he gives them an option.
Harvey's scored all the way through his career, and it's not suddenly going to dry out, even at Premier League level. And obviously, he's turned it on a bit now, hasn't he? And he's getting the recognition, rightly so. And as Brendan Rodgers says, he's a top-class player now, but he's only going to get better and better.
Absolutely. And it was his driving run that led to the opening goal, the free kick that Maddison curled into the bottom corner. I know Liverpool complained about the offside and the VAR and the millimetres that now dictate whether it's on or offside. But we've had that all season, and it swings and roundabouts with that. You take them, some of them, and you lose some.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Madison's form as well this season has really progressed in terms of his numbers. I mean, we've talked about Harvey getting his numbers up. Madison's now involved in 8 goals in the past 9 Premier League games, scoring 4 and assisting 4, which is exactly what he needed to do from last season. Another indication of the progress Leicester have made over the last 12 months.
Yeah, spot on. And I think Madison is not necessarily dictating play and running games, because of his positioning a little bit, really. I think, I don't know, people may disagree, but I think last season when Leicester were rampant, I think Maddison was probably more influential in terms of the general play, himself and Tielemans, that they were playing slightly ahead of Ndidi, weren't they, who was anchoring the midfield in advanced midfield areas, but they were getting on the ball and little give and goes, etc. Maddison still does that to a degree, don't get me wrong. But he said himself, about being more advanced in his positioning, getting closer in and around Vardy, sometimes up alongside him and even beyond at times. So, it's a slightly different role on occasion. So you're not going to get as much of the ball with the play in front of you. But he's in the danger zone more often, isn't he? Where he can make that little assist, that little 5-10 yard slide rule pass, etc. But more importantly, get himself involved in the goal front. And he's a quality performer, isn't he? The class that he has, different types of goals. He's a good finisher from different positions. But now he's sniffing in and around the danger zone as well, isn't he? And, it's another string to not only James Maddison's, but Leicester's bow, isn't it? All of a sudden, Vardy's scoring, obviously, that's usually the case. Barnes is contributing. Madison's in there. Tielemans is a threat. If one or two others, as we said before, if centre-halves can join in at set pieces, and there's potential with the fullbacks as well, isn't there? Ricardo Castagna when he's there. James Justin, sadly out for considerable time. But yeah, he was a goal threat as well and coming at you from all angles, Leicester, at the moment.
But the solid base in that midfield is Wilfred Ndidi, and I thought he was outstanding against Liverpool. And when you compare him to Thiago, a player that's come into the Premier League at Liverpool with such a huge reputation, and then he came on for Milner when Milner got injured early on. If you compared the two, you'd think that Wilfred Ndidi was the established, experienced central holding midfielder. Thiago was all over the place. Ndidi was just a powerhouse on the day. And again, his development has been extraordinary.
Yeah, he was key, wasn't he? He's such an influence on Leicester now. You know, as important certainly as any other player. It's hard to single one out. I mean, straight away you think of, you know, Jamie Vardy and his contributions, Michael Evans, etc. The list goes on at the moment. They've got so many top class players, haven't they, Leicester? But yeah, he was absolutely crucial. I felt at the weekend, and did he was. Even when Leicester was struggling to get into any sort of rhythm, he was constantly there breaking up play, as Liverpool did to Leicester, to be fair. They set traps, don't they, Liverpool? And Leicester was struggling to play out, you know, with any real degree of confidence. But whenever Liverpool surged forward, indeed he was there umpteen times with a long leg and sticking a toe out or reading play, making interceptions or winning the ball aerially. You know, you couldn't help but be impressed. And up until Barnes let loose, he was undoubtedly Leicester's man of the match. I gave it to Barnes when I was doing co-commentary and only because of the sheer explosiveness of what occurred. But overall, indeed, he was hugely impressive.
Absolutely. I mean, that performance, that result was the big positive, which came on the back of a real negative, a real blow in terms of injury news with James Justin being confirmed as having an ACL. Now, this morning as we record this, I've spoken to Brendan Rodgers. He's done his pre-match press conference ahead of the trip to Slavia Prague, and James will have his operation tomorrow. So in the next 24 hours, he'll have his operation. He will be out for the rest of the season and longer. It looks like, I mean, if we look at the timescale for Ricardo Pereira, that was 9 months. So we're looking at something similar for James Justin, which is an incredible blow for the youngster because he was a real candidate for Leicester's player of the season.
Yeah, it's devastating. Devastating, isn't it, for him? Yes, there are worse things in life, but, you know, as a professional footballer, that's what a hammer blow. And you know, to come at such a time when he's on top of his game, he's been patient, he's persevered, he's applied himself, he's performed heroically pretty much for Leicester City, in particular, you know, this season. And a lot of people's up till now player of the year, few contenders in that. But irrespective of how important he is to Leicester in terms of, you know, his flexibility in terms of playing in different positions, etc. And his out and out quality, but it's just as an individual, it's such a blow. It's so frustrating, isn't it? And you know, you only get so many years at the top. I was extremely fortunate with injuries. Yes, they're part and parcel of the game, but when you get major ones like that, it's hard work. It's hard work. You know, mentally as much as anything. Because it's going to be a whole different scenario when he does come back. But, you know, as we've seen with Ricardo, you can get over these hurdles, and I'm sure James Justin will, because, you know, the mentality of the individual and the physical capability of him as well. But, yeah, I wish him well, wish him well. He's a real nice, solid lad as well. You know, no frills about him. He's just a, you know, good, honest professional who's hugely developed his game and come on leaps. Well, not come on leaps and bounds. He was a good player, obviously, when he joined. But, you know, he's come on amazingly well, hasn't he? Talk of England, etc. And it's just blown out the window, unfortunately, for the short term and medium term. But fingers crossed he'll come back fitter and even stronger and even better player.
Yeah, I mean, he injured that knee in a rather bizarre incident, just jumping for to control a ball, and he landed awkwardly. I mean, we saw it again against Liverpool with Jose Perez. Now, the news on Perez is that he's jarred his knee and will be out for both the legs of the Slavia Prague game and the Villa game at Villa Park at the weekend. So he was lucky compared to James Justin. But these injuries are really starting to mount up, and the other injury news ahead of Prague is that Ricardo will stay at home and he will train and recover ahead of Villa rather than risk going out there because of the lengthy spell he's been out previously. They're going to try and wrap him up in cotton wool and protect him a little bit for the Villa game. But it really is getting down to the bare bones again with Castagne still out. Hopefully not too long, though, but he won't be available, hopefully available for Villa. But he's certainly not going to be travelling to Prague either, and Fofana still several weeks away. There's some serious talent now missing for Leicester City ahead of this tie, and it's a tough one as well, Matt, isn't it? I mean, if you look at their record this season, unbeaten in the league, they've only lost one game, and that was against Leverkusen in the group stage of Europa League. The goals are coming from all over the pitch for them. Even the goalkeeper's chipped in with one this season, a penalty. You know, they're a decent side, Slavia Prague. This is going to be a tough one for Leicester.
Yeah, multiple injuries for Leicester, which makes it going into the Slavia Prague game even more difficult encounter, doesn't it? For the reasons you just mentioned there. And apparently they've got quite a lot of pace within the team, so they're going to be dangerous. They're going to know that their best chance is to get a lead in this first leg. So they're going to be firing on all these cylinders, you would imagine, to go at Leicester early on and try and get some sort of advantage, which makes me think, especially with the injuries, that Leicester might adopt a semi-cautious approach in the first leg because they fancy the chances back at the King Power, possibly adopt to the back three, back five that they've applied at certain times throughout the season already. Yeah, and, you know, they still have that capability of being an attacking threat, don't they? But I think he may spread a five across the width of the pitch on Thursday evening, I feel.
It does raise the question as well, with Leicester having the season they're having, joint second, really, but third on goal difference in the Premier League, quarterfinals of the FA Cup, Europa League. Now, where does the Europa League sit in terms of their priorities this season? Because they've already decided to rest Ricardo, not risk him over there. I mean, where does that stand now, do you think, for Leicester City in terms of a priority? I mean, I know European campaigns have been a regular occurrence for Leicester City over the years. Hopefully they're in a position now where they'll be a lot more regular in the coming years as well. But I just wonder whether they're going to prioritise the Premier League now and go for the Champions League qualification, having missed out last season.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll be partaking in European competitions where we can actually travel abroad and spectate.
Oh,
well,
I would love to have been in Prague. I would love to have been in Prague.
I've never been there before either. Have you been?
No, I've never, but people tell me it's a lovely place, very picturesque.
Exactly. Architecture's amazing, apparently, and so's the social life as well. Would have suited us down to a T, Rob. But you could go gallivanting and looking at all the cathedrals, etc. And I'll go traipsing around the bars and we can meet up later on. Yeah, it would have been nice. Missed opportunity, isn't it? And all the hordes of Leicester fans who are frustrated that and being able to make the trip, but perhaps that lies for the future. But yeah, I think possibly if there had been a midweek Premier League game, that Ricardo may well have been rested anyway, because I don't think they want to overload him. You know, they have to be very, very careful, coming back from injury of that sort, not just for the injury itself, but, you know, sort of subsidiary tweaks and strains that you get, or you tend to when you're coming back, when you've been out long-term. So I think that makes sense, but especially with all the travelling, don't know what the weather conditions are going to be like. It's not going to be tropical, that's for sure. So I think it's a sensible decision. But in terms of priorities, I think the Premier League is the main thing. I think, Leicester tried to sort of downplay the frustration at not qualifying for the Champions League slots last year. They're determined to do that with the way that the season has gone. It would be another disappointment if they didn't. You know, a lot of work still to be done, but that possibility is there. That is their main priority, I believe. But at the same time, they haven't got to show a willingness to to want to do well. You know, I think it's genuinely there in other competitions. But of the two, I would say Europa League, really. I know Leicester have never won the FA Cup. And listen, it would be nice to succeed in all three, wouldn't it? You know, as unlikely as that is. But yeah, what an achievement. They would get as far as you can in the Europa League. And say Leicester haven't particularly fared well in the competition. Certainly in my time at the club, we went out at the first opportunity, you know, on both occasions. Leicester have made a good fist of it so far. You know, I think they'll be really determined to get as far as they can in this competition, and they'll have a sneaky eye on maybe even winning it. You know, it's perhaps a little bit premature to say that just yet, but without doubt, it's not out of the realms of possibility, is it?
No, let's fingers crossed that they can fight on all three fronts, and certainly at the Premier League at Villa as well at the weekend. Matt, thank you very much for joining us again this week and offering us your insight. Thank you to all our listeners as well. Don't forget that there's a special offer on unrivaled coverage at The Athletic until February 25th. We're offering new subscribers a half-price annual subscription that's less than £1 per week for an entire year. And to redeem that limited time only offer, go to theathletic.com/LeicesterPod. That's theathletic.com/LeicesterPod. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. Matt, thank you. I'm sorry we can't be in Prague, but we'll join you again next week.
Oh, yeah, maybe one day. Well, maybe one day. But yeah, in the meantime, take care. Good to catch up as always. Speak soon, mate.
Cheers.
The Athletic.